Book of Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16. This has been our theme verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16. I don't know if I can preach this morning. I've been here 25 years and I've never seen Steve Bailey sit on this side. I'm going to be all lopsided this morning when I preach. Number 16, verse 16 of Song of Solomon 5. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for another opportunity to look into it. Guide us and direct us into the truth. Help us all to find something we can use in a very practical way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is the third week that we've been looking at ways to unlock the door of marital friendship. The first week, we talked about companionship and time spent together, doing things together, and how important that is. And then the second week, we talked about conversation, about talking together and communicating and how important that is. And this morning, we come to the third word, and that is the word commitment. Commitment. Now, we talk a lot in Christian circles about commitment. And we talk about it often because it is so important. And the truth is, for our friendship with our spouse to grow and to continue on, there must be a mutual respect for each other, an honoring of each other. And this is true for any friendship. You know, over 30 years, I've done my share of marriage counseling. And often when I see troubled relationships, I see people who don't respect each other. And just the opposite is true in strong marriages. They have a very high degree of respect for each other. I mean, there's things that I can do to lose the respect of my wife, and there are things I can do to gain her respect. And the opposite is true as well. There are things Pam can do that would cause me to lose respect for her, and there are things she can do to gain my respect. And there's many symptoms of lack of respect in marriage. But a very common one is name-calling. Name-calling. Now, name-calling hurts, but it's not the real problem. The real problem is the lack of respect which led to it. And unfortunately, TV has us programmed to call names. Are you familiar with the show Everybody Loves Raymond? Are you familiar with that show? It was very popular a few years ago. Now it's popular in reruns. But if you've ever watched that show, you know that the husband and the wife and also his mother and father, they're always calling each other names. They'll use the word stupid. They'll use the word idiot. So TV programs us to name calling. Back in the early 70s and late 80s, I worked for a man named Dave Long from Long's TV. Many of you are here know that before I went into the ministry, I was a TV repairman. And Dave Long was the guy who taught me to repair TVs, and I worked as his apprentice. And when I worked for him, in the beginning of my apprenticeship, I made some fine mistakes. And he probably wanted to strangle me at times. But he didn't, because I was pretty quick back then and could run faster than he could. But seriously, I could get him mad for sure, but never once did he lower himself to calling me a name. And you know why? It's because he always maintained a basic respect for me, seeing the potential even in the midst of a problem. And working hand in hand and spending hours together all the time, I could get pretty frustrated with him. But I never resorted to calling him names. You know why? Well, one, because I wanted to keep my job, but more so because of my respect for his position. And let me tell you something. Your spouse should have a position of respect and honor in your mind. Let me give you this verse from the Apostle Paul. You mark it down. Memorize it if you have to. 1 Corinthians 7:3, Paul writes this. Let the husband render due benevolence unto the wife, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. To render due benevolence means to give them the honor and the respect that they deserve. Now, let me tell you this. In 25 years of being married, be 25 years in November, I have never once called my wife any kind of bad name. Now, I've said some things in 25 years that I've regretted saying, and I've had to go back and apologize for them. I'm not perfect. No, I'm no different than you. But I never one time have ever called my wife stupid or idiot or dummy or anything like that. Now, there are some reasons for that. One of them is I have an aversion to pain. That's one reason I don't. The second reason is I'd like to live a long life. That's the second reason. Okay, but more importantly, because I respect her. I respect her. And in the next two sermons, this one and the next sermon I'll preach on this subject, I want us to look at six areas of commitment that will help build mutual respect and loving friendship in our marriage. Now, you'll find that all the verses we'll look at deal with friendship. And we're going to take and apply them to our marriages so that we can talk about marriage friendship. And you'll see that true friends have commitment to these six things. First of all, there is a commitment to time. A commitment to time. Now, I want to quote to you a verse, something Jesus said in the Gospel of John. I'm sure you've heard it before, but after I quote it, I want to give you a little different slant on it, make you think of it in a way maybe you've never thought of it before. The verse is this, John 15:13. Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now think about this. If a true friend is known by being willing to lay down their life for someone they love, shouldn't they be willing to sacrifice their time for them? Think about this. When I give you my time, I am giving you my life, because time is life. Think about it. If someone takes the life of another person, actually, he takes only time from him. Murder is simply taking from a person the amount of time he would have lived. And so, in a real sense, when I give Pam my time, I am giving to her my life, because time is life. Greater man hath no man than the greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I mean, how much more could I honor Pam than by giving her my time? And how much more could she honor me than by giving me her time? Time with your spouse is an investment. An investment. It's a wise investment. It is never a waste of time. Even if you're just sitting on the couch watching an old movie together, it's still a wise investment. We should be willing to make sacrifices mutually for one another of our time, of our time. Secondly, there should be a commitment to closeness. Closeness. And this doesn't happen by accident. This only happens on purpose. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, we read, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, listen to me carefully. Apart from my Savior, I have no closer friend than my spouse. But sometimes I hear wives say about their husbands, "Oh, he's closer to his mom than he is to me." Or he's closer to his buddies than he is to me. Or he's closer to his co-workers than he is to me. Or I hear him say, "She's closer to her girlfriends than she is to me. She tells them things she never tells me." Or, "She cares about our kids more than she does me." And it should never be that way. Remember, of no other relationship does God say they two shall be one flesh. And the truth is, children suffer when mom and dad aren't right with each other. And the best thing we can do for our kids is to nurture our marriages. So, how close are you to your spouse? Rate it on a 1 to 10 scale. How close are you to your spouse? It's amazing to me how many guys say 8 and their wives say 2. And the only way to remedy that is to do it on purpose. Do whatever it takes to nurture that marriage. You see, let me tell you something that I have learned over 30 years of dealing with people and their marriage. You ready for this? Listen carefully. Marriages do not fall apart. They drift apart. Marriages do not fall apart. They drift apart. Let me just give you a little Dear Abby thing I cut out years ago. It says, "Dear Abby, I'm a 42-year-old man with 3 wonderful children. They're all grown and in their 20s. Yes, we had them young. I've been married for 23 years, and things have been good between my wife and me. About a year ago, my wife, who is an accountant, decided she wanted to try real estate. She took a class, got her license, and now sells real estate part-time. She's doing so well at it that she plans on quitting her accounting job soon and concentrating on real estate full-time. My problem is, I've been having empty nest syndrome, and now my wife is working every night and every weekend. On weeknights, I sit and watch TV by myself while she works away on her computer. On the weekends, I try to keep busy doing jobs around the house and cleaning, but I'm bored, lonely, and depressed. I've mentioned this to my wife. She says I should find a hobby. Abby, I don't want a hobby. I want to be with my wife. She absolutely loves her job and talks about it constantly. I don't want to ask her to quit her job because she would resent me for it. And no, I don't want to sell real estate with her. Any suggestions? Signed, Miserable in Michigan. Now, I'm not going to give you what Dear Abby told this man because it was not a biblical type of advice. But I will say that we must stay on guard as a husband and a wife not to allow this to happen to us. Listen, if your husband or your wife comes to you saying something similar to what this man said to his wife, you need to perk up, open those ears, and listen to what's being said. Because without any change, you're headed in a bad direction. We must be on guard so that this does not happen to us. There must be a commitment to time for each other. And nothing should stand in the way. If you don't have time for each other, make time for each other. Make time for each other. And then there must be a commitment to closeness. We should not allow anything or anyone become more important to us, more important than our relationship with our spouse, other than our relationship with God. Our relationship with our spouse is the most important relationship we have on this earth. So there must be a commitment to time, a commitment to closeness, and then one more this morning, and that is a commitment to honesty. A commitment to honesty. In Proverbs 27:6, it says this: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends are always honest. Even when it may not be easy, even when it may be uncomfortable, even when it may be unpleasant. And nothing will undermine respect in a marriage like dishonesty. Openness and honesty are such important qualities in a marriage. If your spouse discovers that they can't trust you to tell them the truth, they will not respect you, period. It's so disappointing to find out someone has lied to you, and it is destructive to a marriage. Now, let me finish up this morning by talking to you about three types of liars. First, there are the born liars. Everybody familiar with I Love Lucy? You know what? I still love Lucy. But if you're familiar with it, you know that on that show, Lucy is habitually lying about everything. The money, the kids, dinner, new clothes. And Ricky doesn't respect her because of it. And it seems funny and cute on TV, but not in real life. Not in real life. A compulsive liar, a born liar, has formed a habit of constantly deceiving, almost a subconscious power trip of holding the truth away from others. They lie when it serves a purpose and even when it doesn't. It reminds me of the school principal. Mary Jane, you'll appreciate this. It reminds me of the school principal who decided to try a little reverse psychology on little Johnny. Because little Johnny claimed that on one day he shot 10 12-point bucks in his backyard while hunting. Well, the principal thinks to himself, I'll show him how dumb he looks when he lies. And so the principal says to little Johnny, he says, "I was walking through the woods the other day, and a little chihuahua started following me. And then a great big grizzly bear jumped out at me. And that little dog attacked and killed that big grizzly bear. Johnny, do you believe that little dog did that?" And Johnny's response was, "Sure I do. He's my dog, and that was his third bear this week." Now that's a born liar right there. That's a born liar. But getting serious, let me say this. To those of you who are single, okay, those of you who are not married, let me tell you this. This is your pastor's advice to you. If you find that you have joined up with someone who is a born liar, and you discover that during the dating process, don't think for one minute, "I'll change him or I'll change her after we're married." You know what you need to do? You need to drop that joker right now like a hot rock. Don't go any further in your relationship, because that person cannot be trusted. And I guarantee you this, dishonesty will torment your marriage. Dishonesty will torment your marriage. So watch out for the born liars. The second type of liar is the band-aid liar. They try to fix situations and get out of trouble when the pressure is on. I'll give you a little illustration. The wife calls up the stairs. "Honey, did you remember to set up babysitting for tomorrow night like you said you would?" And she can't see the look of horror on his face. And then he replies calmly, "Sure did." And then he thinks to himself, "I gotta remember to do that." He has just lied to her. He has just lied to her. And no lie is good. No lie is good. That's, again, someone that cannot be trusted. And then the third liar is what I call the protector liar. The protector liar. For example, they'll lie about finances, saying, "Oh, I don't want my spouse to be burdened with that." Some people can't bear to tell their spouse the hard truth. And I've actually known spouses who didn't know there was a problem until the police came to the door to enforce their eviction notice. I'll tell you, give you another example. I dealt with a couple that both of them had numbers of credit cards. And when combined together, they had about $50,000 worth of credit card debt. The trouble was, he had a bunch of credit cards and his wife didn't know it. He was having all the bills sent to his mother's house. And guess what? She was doing the same thing. She had a bunch of credit cards her husband didn't know about. She was having them sent to her mother's house. And when all of this came out, that marriage totally fell apart because they couldn't trust each other. They couldn't trust each other. They hid behind the fact that they didn't want to hurt the other one. But it hurt even worse when they realized that neither one had been honest with the other. And again, that marriage totally fell apart. And so commitment is pretty practical. A commitment to time, making sure you're spending time together. And as I said, if you're having trouble finding it, you make it. You rearrange your schedule, do something, set a priority, but make time for each other. And then a commitment to closeness. Work at making sure that nothing or no one is more important to you than your spouse and your relationship with your spouse. And then a commitment to honesty. The Bible says to provide all things honest in the sight of all men. and that includes your spouse. Now, when we get together again and continue the second half of this sermon, we're going to look at three more commitments. That'll be in 2 weeks because I'll be away next week. Pastor Mike will be preaching. But when I come back, we'll finish this up, this series on marriage, and we'll look at three more commitments. But in closing, let me take you back for a moment to a verse I quoted earlier in this morning's message. It's Proverbs 18:24, where it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend that sticks closer than a brother is God himself. God himself. And I have for you, as a closing, one question. Do you know that friendship with God personally? Do you have a personal relationship with God? There's only one way to have it, and one way only, and that's faith in Christ. In Galatians 3:26, we read here, all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Your relationship with God is not based on your good works. Your relationship with God is not based on your church membership or your church attendance. Your relationship with God is not based on religious rituals. It's based on faith in Christ and faith in Christ alone. In Ephesians 2:8-9, we read, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you want God to be your friend that sticks closer than a brother, then you have to put your faith in the Christ who shed his blood and died on the cross for your sins and who rose again the third day so you could have eternal life and so that you could be part of the family of God. And there is no other way to have a relationship with God, and there is no other way to claim him as your friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God today and the challenge to our hearts, Lord, as we think about what's been said and preached this morning. I pray that you'd help us to apply it in our relationships, in our marriage. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take these principles and make them real and practice them every day. Lord, it's not enough just to hear this stuff preached at the church house. Lord, we got to put it into practice at home. Help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of the word, help us to be doers of the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.